This afternoon, we want to look a little bit further at verse 19 of the sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews and look at the other point that we want to make in that one. And that is, as we read this verse, which hope, that is, that hope that God encourages us to lay hold upon, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. We looked at that hope that was sure and steadfast, acting as an anchor to our soul, as I said this morning, finished up with that. And now we want to notice here that it not only does that, but this hope connects us to Christ as surely as faith does. I promised you this morning that I was going to point something out about hope that's probably a little talked about, a little preached about truth that we as God's people sometimes miss. But I want to emphasize it's hope that keeps us anchored to Christ during all kinds of spiritual weather, and it's hope that links us to Christ just as surely as faith does. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles for just a moment to the book of Romans, chapter 8. I want to read you one statement from the Word of God about hope that perhaps we overlook too often and don't give full credit to. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, we read this from this portion of the Word of God. For we are saved by hope. What does it say? You remember this morning I said we usually talk about by grace are you saved through faith and so on. But have you noticed that, ever noticed before that the Bible says, for we are saved by hope. Here's something that isn't preached among Baptists, maybe not amongst other so-called Christian denominations. Faith is, or salvation is a progressive work in the life of a child of God. Are you in heaven yet, listening to a company of angels singing with the host of Zion? Are you in heaven yet, enjoying the eternal bliss of that immortal state? The answer, of course, no, I'm not. And yet, salvation includes once and for all, at the end of all things on earth, for your life, entering into an eternal state from which you'll never return to a mortal state. That's part of salvation. Part of the whole thing called salvation is to finally and at last enter into an immortal state. It began, this experience called salvation began on that moment of time when the Holy Spirit came to you and said, look yonder at Calvary. Who do you see? What is He doing? What did He do for you? What is He calling you to? What am I pointing you to? What am I reminding you about? And by that preaching to your soul, you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the start of the experience of salvation. Now, as you moved forward in your life as a saved one of God, you started growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. First, this spiritual experience came to you, and then the other one, and then something else occurred, and you were drawn closer and closer to the Lord, and you were moved further and further away from the old and carnal man. And as you grew in that direction, you begin to feel a growing trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith began to expand, and your steadfast confidence in Christ began to expand. And now today, you're here and doing what you're doing because all of these things have happened to you, or some part of them. But the best is yet to come. And it is part of salvation also. In the meantime, from the beginning of your salvation, of your experience of the new birth, if you will, until this day, you have been helped to Jesus Christ by the anchor called hope. God gave you steadfast confidence. What it may only be a little bit. But whatever you have in the way of steadfast confidence in the Lord, God gave you that. And He gives you more if you get it. And more and more and more. And the more He gives you of that steadfast confidence in Him and in Christ, the stronger the anchor holds, the heavier, more strength the chain has, the less likely it is for you to drift anywhere. And that is all in the process of salvation. And yes, while you look at how faith, ultimate trust in the Lord for your every need, is in fact the link between you and the Lord, actually, hope is that, we might call it the security link between you and the Lord. Because without that hope, just like without faith, you could not have salvation. The steadfast confidence in the Lord is a key and certain proof that you have salvation. That's what we're telling you, and that's how important hope is to the child of God. I said at the start of the message, we cannot do without it as children of God. Just like we can't do without faith. So hope is that element from God which has the capacity to keep you anchored to Christ. We are saved by hope as well as faith. Now, thinking about what our scripture text tells us in Hebrews 6, we find something else that's revealed to us there. Let's go back to that chapter and look at that one more time again in chapter 6 and verse 19, because there's one other great and wonderful truth in here. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and listen, and which entereth into that within the veil. What does that mean? I mean, think about the symbolism here, first of all, and maybe you'll all jump right to the answer to what that means. Let's go back to the Hebrew context, because the Hebrews would know immediately what it meant to be entering within the veil. They had temple worship. In the temple, there was this wall between the place that the people came in as common people and worshiped, and the priests ministered out there, and the Holy of Holies, where the tabernacle, where the Ten Commandments were kept, and the cherubim were, and the offering was made by the high priest once a year. In that holiest of holies, they couldn't see into it, and they couldn't go into it. The high priest went there once a year to make an offering for the people. And here, the symbolism, let it fit, just that picture that you have. Hope is that by which the saint of God enters within the veil. Now, what was that temple worship all about? It was a message being preached by the Lord about how God is in relation to His people. In relation to His people, He needed a high priest to come in representing the people and make an offering for Himself and for the people inside the Holy of Holies. That was the message that was being preached. What exactly was that message? Plain and simple. For the people of God to really have connection with God, they had to have the high priest, the Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ to go into the Holy of Holies and offer a sin offering for the people himself, offering himself for the people before God would accept the people on the other side of the veil. There's the imagery I want you to get. But now, Hebrews tells us that hope, the steadfast confidence in God, literally breaks down the veil. It allows such that, according to our verse, we have entry through hope within the veil. In other words, brothers and sisters, hope is that element from God which has the capacity to go around earthly and fleshly constraints to overcome our own sense of worthiness, and because of what Jesus Christ has done, enable us to enter into the presence of God. Now that's exalted, I know. I know it's very exalted. And we don't usually think of our relationship with God in that way, but that's exactly what the Lord is telling us here. Do you remember in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, the Bible tells us, the Bible exhorts us, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may get mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. How can it say that? How can it invite that? Right here it is. Hope opens the veil. Hope gives us steadfast confidence in God, enables us as His people to be able to say, whatever I am, whatever I've been, wherever I've been, how big of a failure I've ever been, whatever I am now, God says, come on in, because I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. God says, come on in, because Jesus has washed me clean and white. God says, come on in, because I appear holy before the thrice holy God. God says, come on in, because I am not charged with any sin. Because of Jesus' blood, I am made just as if I had not sinned. God says, come on in. And so I can enter within the veil. Now, sometimes we really, really degrade our great opportunity to go before the throne of grace. We take it almost casually. But listen, brothers and sisters, this verse and others are telling us that when we go to God in prayer, we've gone behind the veil. We've gone behind the veil because we're saying, hey, God has given me permission to walk right in there. God has given me permission to walk right in and speak to Him as if face to face. And that's our confidence speaking. If we can say that, that's this hope speaking. And when we can say that, we literally have the power to go within the veil. Is it any wonder now why that God said in the beginning of our text, I am offering you an argument or an exhortation to have confidence. I'm giving you this argument to encourage you to lay hold on the hope that I have set before you. The kind of hope that will allow you to come into my presence boldly and ask for what you need. That's what we find. And so, it is the power of hope that takes us to where God is, inside the Holy of Holies, which hope entereth into that within the veil. Now, but brothers and sisters, faith tells us that God is trustworthy, that He is a merciful God, that He's a gracious God, that He is a Father who loves His children, and that He hears His children when they cry. Faith tells us that. But listen, hope gives us the confidence and the boldness to step into the presence of that God that faith tells us is what He is. That's what faith does. That is the faith. That is what hope does. That is the hope that we need to be able to go into the presence of God. Now, when I think of the effect of hope on the life of a child of God, and I try to find a natural illustration out here in the world, I'm a biologist, and it seems like my mind always turns to biological events, miracles, when I try to think of illustrations. But when I think of the child of God advancing, maturing in hope to the point that he understands what it is to come boldly before the throne of grace, I'm reminded of the hatching of a cicada. We call them dry flies around here. If you ever watched cicadas hatch, they come out of the ground. They're really an old, moist, brownish, beige-looking, ugly-looking creature in a shell, an ugly-looking shell. And they climb up on the side of the tree there, and they sit there, and they dry a little bit, and they crack open the back of that shell, and they push their way out of that shell. And when they push their way out, they'll crawl up a little bit from that shell, and they'll sit there in the sunlight until they're dry. And as they dry in that wonderful spring, early summer sunshine, they get so beautiful. Have you ever held one real close and turned it over? I know some of you ladies can't do that. But listen, I've held a lot of dry flies. And they've got this iridescent glow on parts of them. It's beautiful. It's indescribable. And they've got all kinds of colors. And if you look in their wings, they've got these red venules running through their wings that just make their wings beautiful. So this old ugly cicada pupa climbs up there and busts out of that cocoon. And the next thing you know, it's a beautiful creature sitting there on the side of the tree. And as that sun hits it more and more, all of a sudden it'll just drop off the tree and take off, fly away. It's just a beautiful sight. Blah, 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 blah. Off it goes. I sometimes think of that kind of thing when I think about the child of God as he lays hold upon the hope that God has set before him. We start out really, really spiritually ugly, brothers and sisters. I know we do. But if we grow in that drawing near to God, if that anchor becomes firm in the Lord Jesus Christ because of hope, finally we're at that point that the Son of God has lit upon us and we have dried into the mature creature of God and we can fly away to be with the Lord. Hope is that which links us to God, and hope is that which gives us the boldness to step into the presence of God. Now last, here in verse 20 of our text, we find the most convincing reason for really seizing on the confidence in God that He exhorts us to get hold of. Look at verse 20 and see what he says. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Brothers and sisters, somebody's gone before us into the Holy of Holies. Somebody's gotten an open invitation from the one who occupies the Holy of Holies for each and every one of us who trust Him as Savior with confidence. He's there. He's the forward. You know, there's something more here than just the fact that Christ has gone there and is in the presence of God. And that's something I think lies in the choice of words by the writer of Hebrews. When he could have said, described Jesus in any number of ways as sitting at the right hand of God and making intercession for us and having gone into the Holy of Holies for us. But he said, he called him a forerunner here. And I believe there's a reason for that. The reason I think is this. Jesus Christ went back into the presence of God as the first fruits of victory over sin for every one of us. The forerunner went ahead of us and said to God, I've got the victory for them all. Here it is, Father. There'll be some coming in a minute. And hey, it's wide open to them. And so that's what I believe he meant when he said, so the forerunner is for us entered. I guess the Lord Jesus Christ could have had another reason for entering into the Holy of Holies. I mean, I guess he could have. But it strikes me right there with that phrase that in the mind of the Christ of God, there was a primary reason why he went into the Holy of Holies after he resurrected from the dead. Because it says he entered for us. I mean, he could have gone for himself and said, hey, I've done enough work here. I'm done. I'm going to go in and sit down again as God, as one of the parts of the Trinity, and let catch as catch can. But this verse tells me that he must have had in his mind, when he stepped into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of the Father, he was saying, it was always saying, Father, I'm here for them. And he was. He was. He went there for us. And in this office, this role as forerunner for all of us that are saved, Jesus Christ was the superlative one for that office. There could have been no other. Only Jesus Christ could possibly have sat in that office and represented us and stood as the true forerunner. Because only He had the knowledge, the experience of what it took to cover the sins of His people. Only He had that knowledge. Only He alone had the experience of paying the sin debt, of suffering the suffering, of dying the death, of going through the grave, of overcoming the grave, of rising alive forevermore. Only He had that experience. He and He alone. And that experienced forerunner could go into the presence of the Father and say, been there, done that. And I'm here, Father, because there's some others coming. They're following me. You know, when I was a kid, we had a big wood lot behind our house. In fact, it was almost all woods back there. And us boys used to go back there and play by the hour. And I had older brothers, at least two of them or more were at home a lot of the time when I was there. And we'd go back there, and my older brothers would cut a big old grapevine on the side of a hill, and they'd cut it down pretty low, and they'd always pick one that where the hill or dropped off all of a sudden, or there was a big gully out there that was 20 feet deep, you know, and they'd cut the grapevine, and they'd back up on that hill, and they'd swing on that grapevine out across that big hole. And sometimes those older brothers would dare to drop off into that hole. And they thought that was big stuff. But I thought it was an enormously large experience that they would swing out over that hole, cling to that grapevine, and then come back and give it to the next brother. And you know, I was scared to death to try that until I watched my older brothers do it a few times. And when I saw the experience that they went through and what they did and how they accomplished it and how they were successful, guess what? Wasn't but just a short time that I grabbed hold of that grapevine, out I went back. And then you couldn't break me away from it. I want to do it all the time. And you know, that's the way we are as God's people. We've seen, and if we see what King Jesus has done, and we understand it clearly, and we have steadfast confidence in Him that He is the victor and He cannot fail, and He's gone every place we can go, that steadfast confidence in Him will cause us to break out and go ourselves into the Christian life, in a way we could never go at any other time. Simply from having confident expectation in King Jesus as the big brother who knows how it's done and has demonstrated for us how it's done. Ah, brothers and sisters, hope is what we need. You know, Christ's presence before God ought to be an encouragement and an assurance that it's okay for us to enter in beyond the veil that's a barrier to the unregenerate, that's a holdback to God's people who haven't come to that knowledge, that hope, that expectancy of the bold kind that can go before God. His presence there ought to tell us and teach us and encourage us that it's okay for us to go into the Prince, into the Holy of Holies, because the Prince of all things has gone before as our substitute. And it ought to teach us that it's okay now to go into the presence of God as His children, because Christ has made us the children of God by what He's done. One last point. This verse says, Jesus, made an high priest forever. You remember how we started this message? That God is immutable, unchangeable, never changed. Now there's a verse that says Jesus Christ made, and I can say it this way, our high priest forever. Won't ever change. It won't change. You know what? You may worry a little bit and say, well, I haven't lived for the Lord like I should. I've got this going on in my life that's wrong. And so on. And you know, we've all used excuses like that, and we hear them all the time. My advice? I've got this going on in my life. Get it out of your life. And find steadfast confidence in Jesus. And I've got things in my life that I know are wrong. Get them out of your life. And find steadfast confidence in King Jesus. That's all it takes. Now, you're not stranded on some island, brothers and sisters, where you can't possibly get off. You're not Gilligan. If you want to be free from those things that entangle you and step up one more ladder rung in confidence in the Lord God of grace, get going. Just go. Take the step. Do you know what holds us back from taking that step upward in steadfast confidence in the Lord? The confidence to go yet another step and another step. Do you know what holds us back? Ourselves. Grace is always sufficient. And I've done shown you how what confidence you have in God right now is sufficient enough for you to realize that God has invited you to come into His presence. I can't come into His presence because I've got things in my life that are wrong. Get them right. He's given you power to become the sons of God. It's up to you. What are you going to do with it? You know, we talk about humankind, men having choices and being free moral agents. Lost men aren't free moral agents. Now, take that to the bank. They're slaves to the devil, taken captive by him at his will. But I do want to tell you something. If there was such a thing as a free moral agent, closest thing to it is a saved man or woman, boy or girl, because it's for the first time in your life, after God saves you, you have the power and the opportunity to make choices unenforced by the devil. You can choose to do right and leave off, eschew the evil. And you never were able to do that in your lost condition, but you can now. Because the power of the Spirit of God in you has given you that power to put to death the deeds of the flesh. And that's all that's hanging between you and God anyway. Every one of us, whatever stands between us and God, whatever hinders, is something to do with the deeds of the flesh. Steadfast confidence in God can help you to push that away and step away from it and get on a better route. Step up a rung on the ladder of hope and get more strength and more anchorage in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help you to do that. Let's stand. Brother Mark, come, let's sing a number. What's on your heart? Has God spoken to you about something? Is there something you want to share with us? Is your life where it ought to be? Listen, every one of you that are saved, let me ask you a real pointed question. Are you doing exactly what God wants you to do today? Is your church membership right? Is your life and service right? Has God spoken to you about doing something and you've been putting it off? Make a commitment to the Lord right now. Right now. It doesn't matter whether you come forward and talk about it or not. You make that commitment to God to get busy doing it. And I want to tell you something. Steadfast confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ will empower you to get that done.